Oh, hallelujah. Please stand, would you? Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise the Lord again. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, great singing. Great singing. Oh, praise God. Sister Akka stood up here and sung, and I don't know that I've heard her sing a solo part, but she did a tremendous job. I told her, I said, Sister Akka did a great job. Oh, thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I have a little ring in this up here, Brother Zimmerman. Now, there seemed to be a little confusion yet about the anniversary services. The Friday night service is for everyone, and I would be very disappointed if you didn't come on Friday night. So don't just sit back and think, well, going to be a lot of out-of-town guests and everything. I think I'll just wait for the weekend. No, come on Friday night. Now, the dinner that we're serving, because the people, we don't ask those people to stay because they're members of other churches, so we don't invite them for the weekend. So we will serve a dinner for them, and this is for the ministers that come from out of town. Now, the ministers of our congregation are welcome to come. And Sister Linda Brown is applying for ministerial license on the 20th. And if she gets her license, Sister Brown, you're eligible to come. You can't bring your husband, no. I'm just joking. They said ministers and their wives, but the ministers and their spouses, okay? All right. And then Sunday, we'll have the big cookout, in which we'll just spend a lot of time fellowshipping with all of you precious people. I can hardly believe that it's been 40 years. Just seems like yesterday. Remember a meeting with the church board, there's Bill Thorpe and Brother Manley, and I think Brother Gillum and Brother Ron Cole. I think those were the four board members. And remember Brother Manley asking me a question. He said, now, Brother Grant, in 10 years you've pastored three different churches. Are you going to come here and just leave? You remember asking me that, Brother Manley? Well, I told the church, or maybe I told the board first and then the church, that we had a plan to start home mission churches for 10 years. We weren't for sure how many we could start, but as soon as we got a group together that was big enough to attract a minister, and trust me, digging a church to scratch from nothing is not easy, that we would turn it over to somebody else. Well, we started the church in Cushing, Texas, and in almost 3 years, we had the building full, totally full, remodeled an old building that was given to us, and we got a minister to take our place. We moved to Wisconsin. At Shawano, we'd filled that building up, and I'd gone full time, and we left there, got a minister to take the church, and we went to La Crosse, and we did the same there, and we had a minister take our place. Now, I will say this, Brother Manley, when I said no, I have no plans to start any more home mission churches. I didn't know that I would be here 40 years. It just seems like yesterday. And this year, I celebrated my 50th year of ministry. So I really thank the Lord for that. And I don't understand how you can do that when you're only 45, but nevertheless, really, it is really difficult for me to comprehend that I'll be 72 in November. That's just difficult for me to comprehend. And I think it's just because I'm married to this young woman, Sister Grant, and just a beautiful senior citizen. Someone said that over, someone made reference to that over in Walmart, not knowing she was my wife, and I heard them. And so I've been calling her the beautiful senior woman, so. then we got so many just lovely people and been through thick and thin with so many of you. And you've honored Sister Grant and I so much through the years. And for the anniversary coming up, Brother Jorge and Sister Eva came in and painted Sister Grant's office. If you like it, give Sister Grant credit. If you don't like it, then give them. No. They really fixed it up nice. They're perfectionists. They worked and worked. And I said, oh, you don't have to make it that nice. And Jorge said, no. He said, we're doing this for our pastor's wife and pastor and for Jesus Christ. Can't do a sloppy job. And they did it upright. Okay. While you're standing, let me read my text for tonight. Turn to Psalm 118, verse 14. Verse 24. 118, verse 24. And I like this idea of she's for Christ. You know, I wouldn't think, now I don't know, just it seems strange to me that something real thin like a pancake would make you puffy. You know, it seemed like if you'd eat thin pancakes and thin pieces of bacon and all that. Wouldn't you think? But let me tell you something. I'm living proof that it won't work. Oh, my. God is good. All the time. Well, I have to get serious here, okay? Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. You may be seated. Been so patient standing here while I'm up here kidding around. Brother Seidel did such a good job this morning preaching. Yes, he did. Phenomenal job. He stated that they did a lot of work in the parks, a lot of work at Dane County. Not a whole lot of those people came out, but other people came out. And I found this out through the years, that when you start witnessing and talking to people, it might be that the people that you witness to don't come, but others come. And it seems like that it goes like this. When you get up, God gets up. So while you're witnessing, God's out there talking to thousands and thousands of souls. But when you sit down, God sits down. And he doesn't send many people by churches that are dead, because they're not that complimentary to him. And if the churches that are dead had a lot of visitors, they wouldn't get them saved. Now this business, you know, going 20 and 30 years, I think it's Brother Thomas said he went and ministered someplace. It's been 20 years since I had someone that had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the baptismal tank was dry and dusty. You go in there. Well, we keep ours full of water. Now, our baptismal tank is in need of repair. And if you look at it, it looks like it's dirty water. It's not. It's just we've had it coated a couple of times. And the coating is coming off, so it looks black underneath. So you look at that water, you say, ooh, well, it's clean. But on the camera, it doesn't look so clean. But it's probably cleaner than Muddy Jordan, where Jesus Christ was baptized. Now, when a couple gets married, one of the normal things is that they have children. And usually, if they don't have children, it's because that they're taking measures not to have children. So conception is just a normal thing for a couple. And it should be that way in the church, that in order for us to have sons and daughters born in the church, that it'd just be a normal thing. Just a normal thing. Now, sometimes you have to take away tradition, some of your own ideas. I tell people it's all right to think outside the box, just don't get outside the book. And people just get saved. How many people through the years have we had to receive the Holy Ghost during a worship service? Quite a few. How many times have we just kind of shut the service down, held an altar call, prayed a couple of people through or more, baptized them, went on with service, baptized some more at the end, prayed them through? Now, the Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. The sad hour came to Israel in the book of Judges, in which Gideon, who was called to be a judge over Israel, in which Gideon said, if God be for us, where be all those miracles that our fathers spoke of? And some people, the only miracles that they can make reference to are miracles that happen way back yonder. You know. And certainly I do appreciate my way back yonder days. But I do know that quite often you hear ministers say, this is the church's finest hour. We're seeing more people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm just amazed that when I get the report at General Conference concerning the number of people added to the United Pentecostal Church in 1 year's time, it just blows my mind. Right now we're 3.5 million constituents. And some of the UPC works nationalized themselves, and we don't count those anymore. The whole country of Ethiopia withdrew and nationalized themselves, so there were over 1 million people. And would you believe, just in like 4 or 5 years, we'd already picked that many up again. I don't think that you have to belong to United Pentecostal Church to be saved, but you do have to be born again. And someone did come to our church one time and said, Pastor, I picked up that you believe that you have to belong to Calvary Gospel Church in order to be saved. I said, well, I never said that. They said, well, how do you feel about it? You know, I don't mind people asking me what I said, but I don't like for people to ask me how I feel about something. You know. But nevertheless, I expressed how I feel. She said, well, how do you feel about it? I said, well, I don't think that you have to belong to Calvary Gospel Church in order to be saved, but I think you have a better chance if you are a member of Calvary Gospel Church. I hope that you take the word chance in context of what I'm saying, you know. So, this is what happens. We had a gentleman to attend our church several years ago, and when he came in, right away he began to look for a place to be seated. Not many people were in the auditorium then. So he came up and sat like on the second pew, like where Sister Jane Braisman is. And so he told me, he said, well, I got to tell you, you know, I'm looking. Boy, he said, I remember the good old days. He said, you know, things are not like they used to be. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, just, he made reference of all the singing and the shouting and long services. And, you know, so I didn't make much comment about it, but I thought, no, you know, he hasn't been here before. You wait till we crank up and we let him see what happens. So, well, when we started that service, I mean, it was on fire. It was loud, and people were dancing in the spirit in just short order. Kind of an exception for us, actually. Not that I mean, for things to start off that fast. You know what he did? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just sat there. Went through the whole service, had two or three people receive the Holy Ghost and baptized some, and he stayed through the whole thing. He came up to me like, oh, it's over. He says, well, I don't know what I was expecting, but he said, boy, this is not like it used to be. You know? I mean, he didn't do anything, you know. Have you ever been watching a DVD, some kind of a movie or something, and all of a sudden it started jumping? The new digital ones, you know, they just all break up, and here's a guy's ear over here, or I don't know. Looked like a Picasso painting, you know. Just I don't understand how he ever made millions of dollars painting. He doesn't even know where your nose is supposed to be. But at any rate, and then all of a sudden you stop it and you try to back up a little bit and try to go forward, and it just won't go. And you're right in the midst of something extremely interesting. Won't go. Same is true with the VHS tapes. All of a sudden it just top and the bottom of the screen, just thousands of lines start jumping around, and the cowboy, whatever you're watching in the middle, you know, he gets real nervous, just shaking. Like Don Knotts's. No, I think it was Don Knotts shake his gun in the West. I thought that was Bob Hope, was it? Yeah, okay. Just checking you out, see how much you knew about Westerns. I used to go to church with my grandfather, and I'd sit in the middle of the, he had a pickup truck, an old pickup truck, real old. Of course, this was back in probably 1945, 46. And his pickup truck would jump out of gear. That's when the gear stick was down in the floor, you know, and you back in. Now, you have consoles, and they're up here, but I don't know if those go straight into the transmission, but go straight into the transmission. And he'd hold that. Finally, he found out that I liked to hold it, so I'd sit in the middle and pull that thing back between my legs and hold it tight against my chest. You know, if it comes out, it's going to throw me. I'm going to hold it in gear, hold it all the way to church. He said, now, if you don't do that, John, he said, it jumps out, and then if you keep going, it gets stuck in neutral. It won't move. Engine's racing, but the power's not reaching the wheels. So, of course, I didn't know anything about transmissions or anything like that. I had an International 300 tractor that did that, still have it. And I was going to get a kit to put in it because they sell those kits, and one day Rick Wells says, oh, I can fix that. And he went and got the welder and pulled that off and welded something in there and put that back together. And now, after many years, doesn't jump out and doesn't get stuck in neutral. You can shift the gears. Well, you know, the thing about it is some Christians get stuck in neutral. They keep jumping out of gear. In other words, they have good intentions, you know. Preacher preaches on Sunday night. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, you know. Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, they've jumped out of gear already. They're in neutral again. And nobody can get them back in gear. You know, you can find what I would call, in your mind, legitimate reasons to not do anything for Jesus. Just too busy doing this, too busy doing that, too busy doing this, too busy doing that. And usually those are the people that say, Brother Grant, remember when? And they make reference to things that happened 10, 15 years ago. I thought, well, what about just what happened last weekend? So tonight, you know, these are the good old days. I want to speak on the subject. These are the good old days. I remember those days. I remember when I first came here, things were slim, and we had a hard time making a church note. But you know, I'll take this day, August the 5th, over any day of 1972. Now, I enjoyed 1972. I'm so appreciative of that. Going back to our days in Cushing, no air conditioner, hot, no fans. I don't know how in the world we made it. When I was in Bible school, Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas is like a big steam room, not a sauna, but like a big steam room. Living in those dorms, going to Bible school, take a shower, get out, dry off, put on your white shirt, and your white shirt was wet. I mean, just like you never dried off. Stick to your back, and you can't get it to go down. You know, my dad drove all the way from East Texas down to Houston, brought a fan down there for us. So hot, all of us would lay on the floor and let the fan blow on us. Now, you know, air conditioner, just punch a little button. I said, hon, why did you go in this spare bedroom? She said, I almost froze. It's 101 out yesterday. Yeah, but don't we have it nice? You think about it. What excuse do we have for not having a revival service every time we meet? And for the most part, we do. What excuse do we have? Sit back and just think of the good old days. Boy, it's not like what it used to be. Oh, my. Revelation 3:15, the Lord speaks of the church of Laodicea. They were rich, they were increased in goods, they had need of nothing. But God says, I would that you be either hot or cold. Now, our camera's off back here, so. God does not want you to be lukewarm. That's kind of the guy that's stuck in neutral. And because a neutral position with the Lord Jesus Christ will bring carnality as fast as anything. You know what? I said a neutral position with Jesus Christ will bring carnality. Carnality is starts out in the attitude. Come to church. Well, didn't last very long, but that's all right because at least we get to go eat early and we get home early and get a good night's rest. Then we have longer services, people baptized. Oh, that's great, that's great. But you see, the problem with that thinking is it doesn't matter whether you do or don't. I think we should always say, I mean, if nothing happens, that, oh my, you know, I talked about Sunday, the Wednesday night, the saddest sentence, I guess, in the whole English language. And I think this is a partial sentence. It could have been. It could have been. Just a phrase. And only God knows what could have been. But that's the beauty of serving God is that it's so adventurous. Well, I've often thought of Lewis and Clark and to conquer their desire to progress, their desire to open up new territories. Well, I don't know what it's like. I've read stories of our missionaries. One of our brothers down in Columbia, you know, took a shovel and went out and buried his daughter. Later on, had a shovel and buried his wife. I can't figure what that'd be like, you know. But he kept on preaching. Now, one of the largest constituents of United Pentecostal Church and Pentecostal people in the world are in Colombia, South America. Somebody paid the price. To all of you new ones, You look around tonight, of course, this is summer and a lot of vacations going on and such, and we have another service going on. But a whole lot of people fought away their fears and tears and everything else to get us where we are right now. But to me, one of the most exciting things in the world is do something. God wants me to do something I've never done before. Courage is such a big factor. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is manifesting the ability to harness up all of your fears and say, in spite of the fact that I'm nervous and in spite of the fact that I'm afraid, I know this is what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do this. Praise God, praise God. And you'll find out that God begins to use you. When God begins to use you, let me tell you something. And let me help some of you that are praying with people at the altar. I remember when I first started really seeing a lot of people pray through that I was praying with at the altar. And what occurred to me was that the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Now, if a person comes to the altar, they will not receive the Holy Ghost unless they have faith. And I found out, though, that I can actually give them faith. How do you do that? Quote scripture to them. Now, I know that you can get too excited. I say too excited. I don't think that's the right term. But you can get too forceful. You know, if a person's not ready to receive it, but you can give them faith. You know, ask, it shall be given unto you. And you know, you can quote scripture. Quoting scripture just builds faith. You know, if your father, being earthly, know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly father know how to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you can receive the Holy Ghost right now because Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and he arose in order to make this gospel appropriate for you. He did not exclude you. So you can receive the Holy Ghost. Now, if you start telling people that, guess what? They start believing it. But they seem to believe it on the same measure in which you believe it when you give it to them. The same is true if you're praying with someone that has a problem. You begin to quote these scriptures about that God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can cast all your burdens upon him, for he cares for you. He healed them of all of their sicknesses, of all of their diseases. He promised to be with you always, even to the end of the world. It's amazing how much faith you can give to people. But here's the thing. In order to be effective and give people faith like that, sometimes you have to walk that lonesome road by yourself. Sometimes you have to cross over the great divide. You've got to see the terrain on the other side all by yourself, right? Because God's called you there. In other words, when God gives you a special ministry and you say yes to the calling of God, you've got to understand that the safest place in the universe is right in the center of God's will. Makes no difference what he's called you to do. If he calls you to do it, if you do it, he's going to take care of you. It's the safest place. And by the way, if you don't follow and you don't obey God's will, then you are in a very shaky, insecure place. And the most confused people in the world are Christians that have really said no to God too many times. But I'll tell you one thing, if you follow the leading of the Lord, and every day, the Bible said, this is the day. Well, he made yesterday and he'll make tomorrow, but he wants you to He wants you to remember, put your emphasis on now, right now. This is the day that the Lord hath made. When you close your eyes at night and you get ready to retire, you can say, these are the good old days. Praise God. God's been good. These are the good old days. Went to church. Saw all of those young people up singing. Saw Sister Kim Acker sing. Heard her sing. What a remarkable job. Kim, I was bragging on you. You weren't in here, so I have to do this again. So next time, if you hurry up and get in here and I'm bragging on you, don't have to tell this story twice. Okay? No. She was singing. They went around this way, and I told it while she was going around because I saw her. Oh, my. Didn't you do a superb job, though? All right. Yes, Jim, you did a superb job. And Brother Hawk looked at me and said, this church has got so much talent. You see all these young people playing and singing and, oh, my, just it's just wonderful. Oh, God wants this church to be an on-fire church all time. But you see, we can have an on-fire church and perhaps we can just have a few smoldering pieces of wood in the fire, kind of burning out on the edges and not really. You ever built a campfire? You know, the log burns in two, and here's this. After a while, you got to walk up there and kick them in the fire. Well, tonight, I'm trying to kick you in the fire. You know? Get in, boy. Get in. Get in. Get on fire. You can't burn out here on away from the fire. Oh, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:16, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Luke 3:16, I like John 3:16, but I like Luke 3:16. It talks about Jesus Christ. He said, I indeed, John says, baptize you with water unto repentance. But he goes on to say, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know, every now and then, oh, I've got the Holy Ghost. I want to say, do you have the fire? I've got the Holy Ghost. Had the Holy Ghost? Hold it. Do you still have the fire? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit. The fire is a demonstration, a visible demonstration of the fire. In other words, it has its effect. It's like putting a fire in a stove and you close it all up. You know there's a fire in there because there's a little smoke coming out of the chimney. But you know, if you're going to be an effective witness in the world, you got to open up the stove and let people see the fire. And you got to let people see the fire that is in you. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't this so great? Oh, my. Just let people see the fire that's in you. And let me tell you something. You don't have to be super weird in order to be super spiritual. Some people really, I'm serious with you. There's some people that think, unless they put the spooky part in it, you know, the spooky part, like, I have a word from the Lord tonight to tell you. Wait a minute, don't be so sad about it. If it's coming from God, just be happy. Yeah, but this is, God wants me to tell you, there's all kinds of demons after you. Oh, there are? But they're just demons, aren't they? I don't know why people who want to be real weird with their spirituality, why they always accentuate devils. Tell me. One pastor came to see me, and I didn't know that I offended him. He told me years later that I offended him. But every time I heard him speak, he's always talking about devils. Bind, I bind every evil spirit in the place. Now, I think we did some of that tonight, and that's okay. But I'm talking about every time. You know, and so after a while, people are demon, Christians are demon possessed, which I don't really believe is possible, but nevertheless, that's, and we cast out demons out of all these Christians. So he asked me, he said, you know, you seem to have a great revival going to Calvary Gospel Church. What is the secret? I said, well, number one, you got to put more emphasis on God than you are on the devil. You put more emphasis on the devil than you do God. Remember this, God never had an equal. He doesn't have an opposite. And there's no devils in hell that can destroy the power of the Holy Ghost that lives within you. Hebrews 1:14, the Bible says, he sends ministering spirits to assist us. Can you believe that? Now, you probably can't see. If you squint your eyes like this, you might be able to. Can you see all these angels around me right now? I don't see them, but I feel them. One new convert called me in the middle of the night and said, oh, Brother Grant, there's a devil in my room. I said, oh, why? How do you know? He said, my curtains are just breathing. I think she lived in a drafty old house, you know, the curtains are breathing. I said, who'd you say is in there? The devil. I said, oh, it's just the devil. Turn over and go to sleep. I mean, what can the devil do to a Christian? Tell me, what can the devil do to a Christian? He shall give his angels charge over you to protect you in all your ways. Now, we always think that means when I'm going down the highway speeding. No, all your ways, while you're eating, ministering spirits. While you're sleeping, ministering spirits, the devil comes in. The devils pull out their sword. You know, I've had people say, Lucifer himself visited me. I doubt that. Now, you may be important, but I don't think you're on the top of Lucifer's list to pay you a visit. I mean, there are 6 billion people in the world, and some of them are real nasty people. And I doubt that you would be on his top 10 list. Now, I didn't say you weren't. I'm just simply saying I haven't seen anything out of you that makes me believe that you would be. But he does send devils. He does. He sends devils. But you have to understand that even though he sends devils, God is still there, ministering spirits. My. I'm not one to every morning send out angels. Some people do that. I just think I'm just going to hold hands with the Lord. And you know, wherever God goes, there are ministering spirits, angels. Praise God. I'll tell you, I've been through some real suffering lately. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor didn't give me a good report at all. He said, I don't know that there's anything I can do to help your back. Well, I tell you what, so far they haven't been able to do anything anyway. And I said, I've been trusting God. I've been believing God. And now I hope that you take this. And I'm not saying I'll use God as the last resort. But since I was told that, it's like a new mindset came to me. Like, wait a minute. You weren't expecting doctors to do this anyway, were you? Wednesday night, I preached. I didn't use a cane. Since Wednesday, I've had the best 3 or 4 days that I've had in long time. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I made up my mind. I'm going to preach the gospel until I die. So the Lord gave me this calling. He put the preach in me, and no devil in hell is going to take it out of me. Hallelujah. Hey, these are the good old days. I say, these are the good old days. Put your hands together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. When the deacons were chosen in Acts 6, and we're not for sure they were deacons, except that the position, the word deacon means to serve tables, and that's what they were chosen to do. But seek ye out seven men. The Bible says, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You notice how he connects wisdom with it. In other words, don't just get somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost who don't have any sense. I shouldn't have put it that way. You know. You can't believe the things that people told me that they did, and it just turned out to be a disaster. And I said, why'd you do that? He said, God told me to. I said, are you sure? Yeah. Oh, yeah, God told me to. Oh, my. You know, I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, God don't sponsor no flops. And I began to wonder, though, when I no. You think I'm making fun of people? I'm just trying to get you to think before you react. You know, sometimes people can do things, I'm telling you, before their brain turns over. Their tongue is already in gear, and they're talking. And some people get in this super thing like, if you're super spiritual, the more people you can offend, the better off you are. You've seen people that way, haven't you? Man, if I can go down and look at someone and say, I'll tell you what your problem is, you have a devil. Lay hands on that Peggy Moran, cast that devil out. Poor Peggy, she's, I didn't know I had a devil. Does that really feed your ego? Does that make you feel good? But suppose it does. But if you're that far off base, land sakes alive, how's God going to use you? I mean, if you can't read the Bible and go by at least purchase Dale Carnegie's lessons on how to win friends and influence people. If you want somebody to do something, you would be extremely foolish to pick out some means that's not productive. See more angels than you see devils. And let me tell you something. You're going to see more of God than you've been seeing in the past. If there's anybody in this congregation that comes up to you and says, you know, devils are all over you, hocus pocus, then say, I'll talk to the pastor about it. Because I think the fruit of the Spirit repels the devil. So if you told me, I think the devil's bothering me, I think because somebody prophesied over me or somebody told me I had a devil, I said, see how sweet you can be this week? See how much you can love? These are the fruits of the Spirit. That repels the devil. You know what? I say it repels the devil. Yeah. Like somebody came up and said, oh, you smell good tonight. I'm thinking, no, I don't smell good. That's my cologne. That's the reason I put it on, because I don't smell good. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit does to the Christian. Whew. Brother Hawk, I'd just love to be around you. There's something different around you. Pastor Roy, I just like to be around you. Something that, you're not negative. You love everybody. You're kind. You're gentle. You're full of goodness. Wow. That attracts people. And it repels the devil. Just kicks him right in the teeth. See, there's one thing to deliver people from devils, but there's another thing to keep devils away from them once they have been delivered. And once they have been delivered, the way of the devil, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Turn over and go to sleep. It's just the devil. He didn't promise that he'd go with you always, even to the end of the world. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't have the power to be with you all time. Only Jesus Christ has the power to be with you every day of your life. You start living the positive life. And this is the day the Lord hath made. Praise God. I will rejoice and be glad in it. These are the good old days. Oh, hallelujah. You have to seize the moment. Make every moment of your life count. John Maxwell says, success is not a destination. It is the journey. It is the journey. So enjoy the journey. But sometimes we get the Martha mentality. Martha and Mary. Lord, if you'd have been with us, our brother would not have died. John 11, Jesus says, but I am the resurrection and I am the life. Talks about your brother will live again. They said, oh, we know that. We know that. There's going to be a day in which he's going to come forth. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. The Martha syndrome is, it's going to happen sometime. Don't know when. But here's the thing. The greatest compliment that you can give Jesus Christ is like when Martha and Mary were in his presence and they were pointing, oh, we know that day is going to come. When Jesus was right there, the greatest compliment that you can give Jesus Christ is to say, well, we're here with you. Tell us all about it, Lord. Show it to us, God. And could I tell you something? When Jesus Christ walks in our church, and he stands by your side and he tells you, Peggy, I got some news for you. Things are going to be better. And Peggy says, oh, Jesus is here. When I'm in Jesus' presence, I wouldn't dare say, oh, some other day. Not when he's standing right by you. Why would you do that? Well, he's going to use me. Oh, I know. Someday. Not when he's standing right by you. He's going to touch you. Oh, I know. Someday. But not when he's standing right by you. When he's standing right by you, you got to believe him. If you can't believe him then, you won't believe him anytime. And you know what? Jesus Christ is in the house tonight. He walks these aisles. He's talking to people. He's doing his thing right here in the house of the Lord. Ben Thompson came into the prayer meeting with the t-shirt on and said, just do it. There's always people, especially down south where I came from, said, well, I'm fixing to. My brother-in-law Charlie put on his license plate, fixing to. Fixing to. I'm going to. You're going to win. Well, I'm going to. Just watch one of these days. Hey, these are the good old days. Just get up and do it right now. If you've been struggling with something, been struggling with a ministry or anything, and Jesus is standing by your side, don't say, oh, it's going to happen. When he's standing right by your side, take him by the hand, let the ministering spirits come and say, okay, tonight I commit myself. Tonight it's going to happen inside of me. Tonight is the night. This is the day the Lord hath made. These are the good old days. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord again. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Dave Punzel calls me every week before last now. He called and said, "We baptized 8 people, Brother Grant. Baptizing 1 tomorrow." Lenny and Kathy Smith and Benjamin Victoria call me quite often. Patrick and Shelley call me. Guess what? We taught our first Bible study. Walked 10 miles before we found a place to baptize this lady, but baptized her. Now, remember, they're teaching somebody that doesn't speak their language, and they had to have an interpreter. You know, you just want to make sure you get an interpreter that's not biased. Truthfully. Huh. I don't remember who called me, but Sister Grant had inquired about our prison minister. And they said, there were 65 people up at Fox Lake baptized in Jesus' name. That's something. We're not talking about months ago. We're talking about recently. Oh, my. This year, over 100 already baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Since Y2K, over 3,000 people. Working on 3,500. This is our finest hour. Oh. Let me ask you this question. I've asked you this before. It came from, not from me, but from a little plaque that I think Sister Brown, Brother Sister Brown gave out at our couples retreat. But this is what it said. Are your dreams bigger than your memories? Now you think about that. Now I don't know when my tenure on earth is going to end, but I can tell you one thing. I'm hoping and praying that I have as many unfulfilled dreams on the plate as I've ever had. That as soon as one is fulfilled, I put another one on there and say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I have no fear walking in the presence of God with a plate full of unfulfilled dreams, plans that I had made to do great things for the Lord. I never want the plate to run dry and everything is, nope, I'm just biding my time now. I don't want that to happen to me ever. I'd like for our praise singers to come and I'd like for you to stand. Oh, these are the good old days. My, these are the good old days. My, these are the good old days. Oh, hallelujah. These are the good old days. Thank you, Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. Jesus is saying, now what is impossible with man is possible with God. Remember, I'm standing right here next to you. Don't come up with this Martha mentality. Oh, yes, somewhere down the road. Let him inspire you this very night. This very night. As our praise singers begin to minister in song, I want you to make your way down to the altar. If you have problems and you've been wrestling with these and you just can't seem to, just come and stand right in front of the pulpit. If you're sick in body, come and stand over here on your left. If you want renewed in the Holy Ghost, come over here and stand on your right. Come on down right now. Oh, hallelujah. My Jesus, come on right now.